Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve. Here we are, not only on a regular Sunday night, but it's Pentecost Day.
Pentecost Sunday already.
Woo. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what I like to call Old Pentecost, New Pentecost. And it's an awesome day. It's, you know, a lot of people call Pentecost the birthday of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because we went from having a sorry bunch of guys to having a bunch of on fire.
There you go again. There,
you know, to having a bunch of on fire evangelists that then moved out of the upper room and changed the whole world in a short amount of time.
Amen to that.
And as we're going to hear, you know, Peter gets 3,000 people saved in the first 20 minutes. So that's a pretty good start.
Yeah. He was off. Hit the ground running.
Yeah, man. That was a very powerful altar call.
Even
Billy Graham would be happy with that.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Anyway, we are all familiar with the Feast of Pentecost, and Pentecost comes from the Greek word for 50 days. Now, what many Christians are not familiar with is the fact that Pentecost is one of the seven feast days of the Lord that God commanded the Israelites to celebrate.
I knew that.
I know you did. I took your Torah course.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah. So the Hebrew word is Shavuot, which means the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot means weeks. And it's called the Feast of Weeks, and it's outlined in the book of Exodus and in the book of Leviticus, and then it's talked about, of course, also in Numbers and Deuteronomy, and it's talked about in four out of the five books of Moses. Only the first one that doesn't talk about Pentecost.
Oh.
Yeah. So God commands the people to do it, and originally, it was a harvest feast, and it had to do with the harvest of the wheat. And the Feast of First Fruits was also a harvest, but it was a harvest of barley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the barley harvest was nice. The wheat harvest was big. So since everything in the Torah and everything in the prophets points to Yeshua the Messiah and the plan of salvation, it wasn't a coincidence that on the day of Pentecost, the day of Shavuot of that year, the Holy Spirit fell on the people in the upper room, and they went out and brought in the big harvest. This was the main harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, the Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot, is very directly connected to Passover, because the reason it's called the Feast of Weeks is that God tells Moses, you count 7 weeks from the Sabbath after Passover. You count 7 weeks. I get too excited about my feast.
I know you're going to confuse the listeners.
Yeah. You take the first Sabbath after Passover and count 7 weeks. The next day is Shavuot, Pentecost.
50 days.
And that's why it's called the Feast of Weeks, because God told them to count 7 weeks. Now, interestingly, it's connected to Passover because, of course, as we've talked many times, and as I'm sure you know, and if you've ever been to a Messianic Seder meal, which I know Stephen has been to several.
Yes.
Including one at my house not too long ago. Passover was the sacrifice of the Lamb, was the sacrifice of Jesus, of Yeshua the Messiah.
Right.
So the sacrifice, of course, connects to the coming of the Spirit to put the plan of salvation into full effect, so to speak. And so the two things are connected. And many Christians don't realize that Shavuot, Pentecost, is one of the 7 feast days of the Lord. And it's also interesting, before we get into the account that we know of as Pentecost, that Pentecost was one of 3 pilgrimage feasts. There were 3 feast days out of the 7 where every man had to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. Mm-hmm. And this is going to come in very handy because when Peter goes out and starts preaching the gospel, he's going to have an audience ready to hear because there's people there from all over the area.
Yes.
And all over the world.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I first learned about the connection between the Feast of Pentecost
mm-hmm.
from the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
and the Feast of Pentecost in the New Testament. And, you know, I had always heard, you know, yes, the birth of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But when I understood, and like we always talk about, it's good to, we should know the Old Testament.
Yes.
We should study the Old Testament because knowing that it was a harvest feast and mm-hmm. seeing that, and there's no coincidence here, but that it's a harvest now of souls
yes.
for the kingdom. That just blew me away. I was like, that is just so awesome. You know, and it wasn't like that this just happened and God was going, wow, that's really good. I didn't think of that before. It's all connected. You know,
yeah.
it's just all connected.
Yeah.
And it was just really awesome to see
yeah.
how God used that Feast mm-hmm. of Pentecost to bring in this first harvest of believers.
Yes.
And it's been taking place ever since.
Yes. Study the Torah, study the rest of the Tanakh, and you see, you know, Jesus said the scrolls talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says to the Pharisee, you look in the scrolls to find eternal life? Yes, because it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another of many examples because this was the whole point of those books
yeah.
is that after the fall of man, mankind was going to be redeemed by this.
Mm-hmm.
So this amazing thing that happens, this amazing plan connects the sacrifice to the fall of, to the Holy Spirit coming down, energizing and empowering these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's look, you know, who are these people? You know, you just heard me call them a sorry bunch of guys.
Sorry guys.
I mean, they were basically.
Now you got me saying it.
Yeah. I mean, they were basically uneducated. Matthew was a tax collector, so I figure he probably got some education. At least he could do some numbers.
Right.
He worked for the IRS. And every April 15th, he was going around collecting money. And these guys had spent time with Jesus, a lot of time, and they had spent, you know, what we would call quality time with him,
mm-hmm.
walking around, listening to him teach, asking him questions, you know, watching what he was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, as John writes in his first letter, you know, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. So
yes.
the eternal word was with them in a physical body.
Yeah.
And he told them about the kingdom. He told them about salvation. And he told them about the Father. He told them about the Spirit. And as we were saying last week, they couldn't possibly understand what he was talking about.
No, they were still staring at the sky.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't understand it. And they heard about the Father, heard about the Spirit, heard about this plan. You know, he gave them the Great Commission that we talked about a couple of shows ago.
Right.
And
all of this.
They're standing there going, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to go around the world and we're going to make disciples of all nations. And
yeah,
I don't know. You know, we can barely get ourselves from here to Galilee. How are we going to go around to the rest of the world?
Yeah. You know, when right before he ascended, when he said, you know, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, we hear that and go,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go preach the gospel,
right.
But we're pretty certain that
yeah.
when they heard that at that point in time, they still didn't understand.
Exactly.
How are we going to go to the ends of the earth?
We're just standing here on the mountain looking up at the sky. and they know.
And that's not to make, you know, it's not to make light of what they did or what
right.
happened.
Sure.
But it's placing yourself into the reality that they were in.
Mm-hmm.
That they didn't have 2,000 years of church teaching and history
right.
and even the writings of the New Testament at
that's
that
right.
time to fall back upon. They
that's
didn't
right.
have that.
That's
they
right.
were living this.
Yes.
And living it is quite a difference than studying it
yeah.
with some history
yeah.
behind it.
And how had they done so far? You know, not that great. Hey, can we sit one to your right, one to the left? Hey, don't worry, Lord. These guys, you can't count on them, but me, I'll
yeah.
be there for you.
I'll never deny you.
Yeah, I'll never deny you.
I'll,
So, you know, not to mention Judas, who's now out of the picture, who was probably the smartest one of the bunch. Mm-hmm. But
certainly it's not Lord.
You know, Peter had denied him. The guys that we talked about a few weeks ago on the road to Emmaus were blown away by this teaching, blown away by the fact that when he broke the bread, they recognized him. They run all the way back to Jerusalem and go, wow, we saw the Lord. And then he comes and stands there and everybody goes, oh, it's a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not really off to a good start.
Yeah.
And when he had commissioned him, you know, he said, you know, you're going to go through the whole world, but you're going to start in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word of the Lord goes forth from Jerusalem.
From Jerusalem, right.
And, you know, I think that's Isaiah. I think it's chapter 2. But anyway, it is chapter 2. But these are all prophecies that have to be fulfilled, have to be maintained. So he tells them just before the ascension, and if you were with us last week, which is hard to believe a whole week's gone by.
It is.
If you were with us last week, we talked about the ascension and this last teaching conversation sort of dialogue that they had on the Mount of Olives just as Jesus was ascending. They saw him leave. They knew now that something different was going to happen. And just before he did leave, he told them, don't leave the city. You're going to stay in Jerusalem and you're going to wait for the promise of my Father. You're going to wait for the Holy Spirit, which is going to happen in a very few days.
Yeah.
And this was the only instruction that he gave them. And as when you think about it, it's the only instruction that's important because it was the Holy Spirit then and is the Holy Spirit now that is going to empower people to do ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We can make all the handouts we want and we can do all the radio shows we want and we can make web pages and we can go do Gift of Grace events and churches and
not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it's good ministry time. But without the power of the Spirit, we can't do those things. And
right.
It won't be meaningful to do those things. And this was the most important instruction he could have given them was to wait in the city for the Spirit.
Yeah.
Then the word's going to go out from Jerusalem. You're not leaving here tomorrow afternoon and going because you're going to make a mess of it.
Right. And that's a very important point that you bring up is that if we wait upon the Lord, he's going to instruct us that he's building the house
mm-hmm.
and we're cooperating yes. with him because lest the Lord build the house,
yeah.
we're going to labor in vain. And that's a very important point that you bring up because as disciples, we do want to wait upon the Lord. We need to wait upon the instruction of the Lord. We need to wait on God's favor
mm-hmm.
and bring about the time that we're to go out and minister,
mm-hmm.
that there's a harvest brought into the kingdom mm-hmm. and that we're bearing fruit. And if we go ahead of the Lord, then the people that he wants us to talk to, the places that he wants us to go, might not be totally prepared
mm-hmm.
for what's going to take place. And if we're walking ahead of the Lord, then we're not really listening to God
yes.
and we're doing our own thing.
Yes.
And if we want to be disciples of Jesus, Jesus said, no disciple is greater than his master. Jesus waited upon the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He always said, I only do or say what I hear or say, you know,
yes.
what I hear or say the Father doing. And so we too have to imitate that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And for them, now imagine if Jesus would have said, you're going to go out from here. And you're going to preach the gospel, you're going to preach the kingdom, you're going to make disciples, you're going to baptize everyone. So go ahead. Imagine what would have happened. Those guys would have just gone around, bumbling around through the countryside, not really knowing what they're supposed to be doing, or trying to kind of wing it on their own. But the instruction was, you wait here in the city. You know, when you read through the Torah, God tells the people that there's going to be a place where he's going to put his name. I mean, that's the city of Jerusalem. He's going to tell David and Solomon later, this is where I put my name.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm going to be. This is where I'm going to live. This is where my temple is going to be.
Yeah.
And the word has to go forth from there. It doesn't go forth even from the cities in Galilee that, you know, the word doesn't go forth from Capernaum, even though Jesus was living there. Doesn't go forth from Nazareth, even though he was living there.
Yeah.
Has to be from Jerusalem. And the instruction was, when the Spirit comes, then you're going to know what to do. So they had this time of waiting, this 9 days.
Yes.
Where they were in the upper room. There were 120 of them, including Mary, Jesus' mother, who was also there. It points out, and we're going to have Steve read that in a minute from Acts chapter 2, so that there was this time of prayer. There was this time of unity. There was a time of preparation before this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, why don't you read? You all know the Pentecost accounts. It's in Acts chapter 2, and I think we'll just have Stephen read it, and we can talk a little bit about it.
Okay. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each one of us hear? And then how does each one of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others said, scoffing, 'They have had too much new wine.'"
Yeah. Yeah, let's stop there for a minute. This is really good. But now, if you know, that when you think about what he just read, a lot of important things come to mind, of course. But one of them that sets the stage is that the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot, is a pilgrimage feast. And this is why these people that we're talking about here are Jews. Now, some are converts to Judaism, but the scripture is very clear to point out that these people that are listening to all this are Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And they are living in what's called the diaspora. They're Jews living in different places, but they are fulfilling the law by coming to Jerusalem for this feast day, which is what the Lord commanded in the book of Exodus, that they had to come on that day. So they're fulfilling that law. Peter and these other guys have a ready audience for when they start to preach. It's a loud thing that happens. There's wind. It's obviously heard all around the city because people come to see what's going on. And it's a very powerful manifestation. It isn't just a little, "Oh, somebody over there had a word" kind of thing. It's a powerful presentation. People yeah. come and they hear it happening.
Yeah.
Oh, all over it back. Oh, this is a Brit song.
Yes.
This is on the album Desert Rain, if you want to go to wilburministries.com and order it. But go to giftofgraceministries.org first. We'll be right back.
And give me trust. Join the song of love.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're here this evening on Pentecost Day talking about Pentecost. And we just had Stephen read the account in Acts chapter 2, which is the Pentecost that we as Christians all know and love. Mm-hmm. And we did some of the background of it. And all these Jews from all these different places that spoke all these different languages heard and saw things that they couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And they couldn't understand why these guys were Galileans, but they were hearing them in all their different languages.
Their native languages.
And they were acting weird.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe these guys are drunk.
And what's really amazing is that because it's the Feast of Pentecost, everyone's there.
Right.
To be witness of this.
Yes, exactly.
To hear this.
Right.
And then to just, you know.
Yeah. It doesn't happen randomly.
No.
Yeah. Everything, you know, unfolds according to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And in the particular year that Jesus died, the resurrection was on a Sunday. This also was on a Sunday, you know, counting out the days and so forth, because mm-hmm. the 49th day would have been the Saturday before Pentecost Sunday.
Yes.
You see, we naturally call it Pentecost Sunday, but, you know, they would have just called it Shavuot.
Yeah.
And it also happened on Sunday, which, you know, we now call the Lord's Day. And these men who had seen the ascension and had gone into the upper room, and there were 120 in the upper room, and there were women there, including Mary and probably some other women.
Mm-hmm.
They were praying, and it says they were of one accord.
Yeah.
You know, Psalm 133, you know, comes to mind. How nice, how beautiful it is that, maybe you should read that.
Psalm 133?
Hinei Matov. You know, it's a beautiful thing when brothers dwell together in unity.
Yeah.
And they have a unity of purpose, and they have a unity of prayer. They had a unity of preparation, waiting for the promise that Jesus had told them was going to come.
Yeah. One mind and one heart, yeah.
You have Psalm 133.
Yes, I do.
Yay.
A song of ascent of David. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together as one, like fine oil on the head, running down upon the beard of Aaron, upon the collar of his robe, like dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. There the Lord has decreed a blessing, life forevermore.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So this unity of brothers dwelling together. Paul Wilbert has a great song about that called Hinei Matov. We should have played that.
Anyway,
it's okay.
Talk to the producer.
Steve's the music minister. I'm just still trying to figure out what major and minor chords are. But anyway, not that I'm ever going to figure it out. Because it's incomprehensible to me. But anyway.
It's not that difficult.
It's a dwelling together. It's one accord. It's a preparation time. And, you know, even in that psalm, and the psalms, of course, were written 1,000 years before what we're talking about.
Yes.
King David wrote this particular psalm. These are the psalms of ascent. And what those were the people would read them. Actually, they would sing them, because the psalms were meant to be sung.
Yes.
Now, had I been there, they would have said, please read it and don't sing it.
David was a very skilled musician.
Yes. They would have told me not to sing. They would have told me, just read it. Have Steve sing it.
No,
anyway.
No comment.
But they would read the Psalms of Ascent as they went up the steps that led to the temple, as they went up the Temple Mount.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really cool, because David even shows the Holy Spirit as oil. And it's so awesome that the oil just gets poured out on Aaron.
Yes.
It's not just like a little bit of oil on his head. It like goes down his head, onto his beard, onto his robes,
mm-hmm.
and it leads to everlasting life.
Yeah.
It's filled with the Spirit. It's an outpouring of the Spirit. And this is what happened to these people in the upper room. There were no divisions. And interestingly, the Spirit didn't come in a cloud. You know, he came with fire and wind.
Just like Jesus had said.
That's right. You know, Jesus had left in a cloud,
mm-hmm.
and that was nice. And God had shown himself as the Shekinah, as a cloud, and that was nice. But now the Holy Spirit comes in fire, wind, with power, just like he said.
Yeah.
He's going to come with fire. He's going to come with power. You're going to be baptized in that fire and in that power.
Yeah.
And this is how he comes. He brings light into them, into their minds, into their hearts, opens up their mind. Because Jesus told them, when the Spirit comes, he's going to convict of sin, and he's going to remind you of everything I said.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, these guys are, they're not the scared little guys that were staring up into the sky going, ooh, what are we going to do now?
There you go.
Yeah. And now, their minds opened up to the Scripture. All these things that Jesus had said are coming back into their minds. They receive this power and this boldness to preach the word, and we're going to get to our friend Peter here in a second. And they're ready to go and do that, and it happens very suddenly.
Yeah. And you know, the image of fire.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with fire? Mm-hmm. It burns.
Burns.
But it also purifies.
Yes.
And they're purified from all their fears. Everything that they, you know, everything that they were worried about is just transformed.
Exactly.
I mean, they're transformed in the fire of God's love.
Yes.
And that Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit is, the fire of God's love.
Yes.
And it's transforming.
Mm-hmm.
It transforms us from, you know,
mm-hmm.
scared individuals to going, being able to go out there and maybe talk to people, talk in front of people that we, oh gosh, I would never think of doing that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit impels us to do those types of things.
Yes.
And they're transformed. And it's, you know, I always think about that, how fire, you know, we purify things with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can be purified with fire.
Yes.
And so too were the disciples.
Yes.
And so too are we.
Right. Exactly. And you know the song Refiner's Fire. Mm-hmm. What does a refiner do? He takes impure metal, gold, silver, heats it up.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just said, the fire burns away the impurities.
Exactly.
Burns away the dross, and you have the pure gold left, the pure silver left, or whatever it is. And this is what this fire symbolizes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the fire can light other flames, too.
Yes.
So that the Spirit didn't fall just as one big flame that came down in the middle of the table. They each had a flame over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual person had fire over their heads.
Yeah.
Because each one of them got gifts of the Spirit. They may have been different. We don't know how, you know, there were 120 different people there. We don't know who got what gift, but one thing is for sure is the Spirit poured out gifts without limit, without any kind of limitation on all the people that were there in a very, very powerful way.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing people noticed was the tongues.
Yeah.
That was something that came up right away. You know, it's kind of the opposite of the Tower of Babel. You know, at Babel, there was one language, and then God split it up into all the human languages.
All speech
now,
was
confused. All of a sudden, one language is coming out of these guys, and nobody really knows what it is, but everybody's understanding it in their own language. So that's pretty cool that it happens suddenly.
Yeah.
And it happens in a very powerful way.
Hmm.
And each individual there is going to be used as part of the plan. They're all going to get gifts.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about the Tower of Babel, that's a good point because at that point, speech was, you know, confused or separated or, you know, there was different languages that came about and no one could understand each other. They weren't able to interpret or understand. Here, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God, all these different people are hearing each one of them in their own native tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some debate amongst people where the gift of tongues is concerned,
someone
speaking in tongues, but There are instances where the gift of tongues is manifested in a community or in a gathering of people, and someone is from a background and they hear about the mighty works of God in their own native language.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And that's happened. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's awesome when it happens.
Yeah, it really is.
So it still happens today.
Yeah, and these people were so different that the reaction of some people is, oh, they're drunk with new wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then our friend Peter points out, it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
What? What are you guys talking about?
This is it's kind of neat how the scripture even tells us what time this happened. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, in order for people to think, oh, these guys are drunk, they must have been acting quite differently than they normally would act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, they were like euphoric. They were probably jumping around. They had their arms up in the air. Some of them were probably singing. And if any of you have, you know, come, if any of you are in a, you know, in the different Pentecostal charismatic traditions, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Those of you that aren't probably don't, but, you know, the Spirit manifests himself in different ways of how people behave.
Yes.
And these guys weren't just sitting around the table going, oh, yes, I guess this is what Jesus was talking about. Now we've been filled with the Spirit, so I guess we better go out there and start doing whatever it is we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. And the Spirit enabled them to proclaim about the mighty works of God.
Yeah.
They were glorifying and praising God.
Brings out their testimonies.
Yeah.
And they're preaching boldly. They're not just mumbling to somebody, listen, sir, Mr. Levi, could I just tell you that, you know, do you remember Jesus? No, they were boldly proclaiming the word.
And we're going to see what happens to Peter here in a moment, because as we've talked many times, and you've pointed out many times, I know, but you know, we've talked many times, and Peter is such a wonderful example for all of us who are disciples of the Lord, because there's times where we think, oh Lord, you know, I'm in all the way. I'm never going to, and then we do something that causes us to fall away.
Yeah.
And cause we're all human.
Sure.
And Peter is just this wonderful example of the life of a disciple, because he has said before, oh Lord, I'll never, you know, I'll die with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you.
Yeah.
You know, and then he shrieks away at the servant girl who's saying, aren't you a Galilean?
Yeah.
No, I don't know the guy. And here he stands up and he starts proclaiming by the power of the Holy Spirit that he had just been filled with.
Mm-hmm.
And he is transformed.
Yep. These guys hadn't done a lot of preaching up to this point.
He didn't have it written out.
That's right.
He didn't have a track written out, and then somebody, you know, approved it.
Didn't make a PowerPoint before.
No.
Didn't even have any notes.
No. All up.
Yeah, all up. And he quotes Joel chapter 2. He quotes from Psalm 16. And, you know, we'll have you read in a second. But he quotes these scriptures, and presumably the other people who also had been filled with the Spirit were also doing this kind of thing. And these uneducated people that were really kind of timid, I mean, they'd been hiding now for quite a while, are all of a sudden out on the street boldly preaching scriptures.
Right. You bring up a really good point there, because they had been hiding for fear of their own lives.
Yes.
Because they saw Jesus crucified.
Yes.
And they were in fear that this was going to happen to them too.
Yeah. You want to read what Peter quotes there?
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord, and it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls on the name of the Lord."
Hmm.
You want me to read further?
Yeah.
Okay. "You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the thrones of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exalted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.
Mm.
My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus, of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured it forth as you see and hear.
Hmm.
For David did not go up into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day.
Woo!
Wow.
Not bad for 20 minutes of work.
No.
But there's a lot of stuff there.
Oh.
I mean, here is Peter now, filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And look what he's doing. He's teaching from the Scripture. He's doing a Bible study. Mm-hmm. He's explaining the Scripture. He's talking about his experiences with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Said he was the Messiah. He's the one who came. You guys crucified him. He's the son of David. He sits on the throne of David. David called him Lord.
Yeah.
And this is all very important stuff because they knew exactly what he was talking about.
Yes.
Because they knew the Messiah was going to be the son of David, which Jesus is the son of David.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on the throne. He's going to be the one that David says, the Lord said to my Lord. You know, and Jesus points out before that, you don't generally call your son your Lord.
So no.
David knew that his descendant was going to be more than just a human. And Peter explains all these things, and it's a promise that's been made to them, meaning the people listening there, meaning the Israelites living mm-hmm. in Jerusalem, the Jews living in the diaspora that were there. But he says also to the people far off,
yeah.
which is us. This
yes.
word was going to go even to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to start with the Jews because it had to by the Scripture. And then it was going to go to people far off, which are the Gentiles.
Yes.
And it was all going to bring fruit and was all going to build the kingdom in a way now that Peter and those guys finally understood, like we talked about last week, of what Jesus was actually talking about.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good song.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember, Gift of Grace, look us up on Facebook and also giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in the final segment of the show.
Standing here in your gates again. Up to Jerusalem. Oh, I was glad when they said to me, come to the house of the Lord. Standing here in your gates again. Up to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, peace, Adonai, Sasha, Lord. tribe Shout Hallel. We lift our voice to the God of Israel. I was glad when they said to me, come to the house of the Lord.
To the house of the Lord.
It's again up to Jerusalem.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220, the last segment of the Pentecost / Shavuot show. Remember, Feast of Weeks, and we only really have a few minutes left, and yikes.
Yeah.
I don't know what... We could spend like a whole week talking about Pentecost. We could really make it a Feast of Weeks, but... You know, the scripture you read about our friend Peter just really says it all. I mean, the transition that you see in this man.
Yeah.
In almost instantaneously.
Yes. It's just it's just amazing. I mean, and you have to read the whole account. You know, yeah, we can't just break it up, but you have to read the whole account. And it is, it's just an amazing transformation of what happens to an individual when the Lord calls them,
mm-hmm.
and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit just is immersed into them.
Yeah.
And there's this total transformation. And for him just to get up and start proclaiming this is a transformation in itself. But then the text of what he's talking about, the content of what he's talking about, is just totally amazing.
That's right.
That it just cuts to the heart of what the truth is, and these people that are hearing it, their hearts are just cut to the depth of what he's saying.
Right.
And they're like, what do we do?
That's right. It's powerful preaching.
Oh.
That he couldn't have done before.
Right.
And these guys are cut to the heart. You know, when the scriptures talk about how the word of God is a two-edged sword, it cuts through everything. Peter's word cuts through these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he talks about Joel, he talks about David, he talks about... And when he says, well, Jesus was the Messiah, you guys missed it and you crucified him.
Handed him over to lawless men.
It says they were cut to the heart.
Yeah.
They were going, oh, what are we going to do now? And he tells them, repent and be baptized. I mean, he's already preaching the kingdom.
Yeah.
Which he couldn't have done half hour before that.
And this is very important for us today.
Yeah.
We're all human. You know, there's a lot of different denominations and a lot of backgrounds and those, and there's a lot of history.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, unfortunately, bad history in the church. What do we do?
Yeah.
Do we repent? Do we seek forgiveness and reconciliation?
Yeah.
Or do we carry on the grudge?
Yeah.
They hurt me.
That's right.
They said something bad about me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make light of something seriously that happens to people.
Sure.
But at some place and some time, we have to come to that place and ask God for the grace. If we can't, if we can't in ourselves ask for forgiveness or seek forgiveness, then we need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to forgive this person. Give me the grace to do it because that's what you call me to do.
Exactly.
And then, you know, in that, the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, is healed,
yes,
and comes together.
Yes.
And that is so essential and so needed.
That we may all be one.
That we may all be one, yeah. It is so needed in our time today because there's a lot of divisions
that happen.
Sad divisions. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, that can all be healed.
Yes, exactly.
That can all be healed.
Exactly. And look at the power that was poured out here.
Yeah.
And I think it's neat that when we said it was a harvest feast originally, you know, now the harvest begins.
Yes.
3,000 that first few minutes. Mm-hmm. Then these guys are going to go out and bring millions in.
Yeah.
Still happening today. We're mm-hmm. going out and bringing people in.
Yeah.
We've been brought in. And the harvest goes on, and this is the model of how the harvest works.
Yeah.
It's an empowerment by the Holy Spirit. It's not what we do on our own. And before we run out of time, I just want to add that as time went on and different traditions were added, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot also became known for celebrating the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai.
Mm,
now,
yes.
Interestingly, as God tells Jeremiah 31:31, you know, the law is going to be written in your heart. Now, that law in our new covenant is now being written in these guys' heart. And when Peter says this and those guys say, oh, because they're cut to the heart.
Yeah.
Now, they're not thinking about stone tablets and arcs. They're thinking about, like, what's going on inside of them.
Amen.
And even, you know, everything is used. The law is used. The traditions are used. Everything that the Jews had done is used now to say, okay, now it's time to preach the kingdom.
Yeah. You know, what Jesus prayed about before his passion in John 17, and this is from verse 20. I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Wow.
That is fulfilled. That prayer of Jesus comes to fulfillment at that point,
yes.
And still is being fulfilled as we
yes.
preach and someone comes to believe.
Yes. Exactly.
In Yeshua.
And this is how I think we should end the show today, is that the Pentecost is still going on. It's been going on through Christian history.
Right.
And now, you know, I hope if it's, you know, that God will give us a new Pentecost.
Amen.
Because of the time that we live in.
Amen.
And there's been such a great falling away and so much lukewarm stuff that's going yeah. on, and you know, a moral darkness that's settled over our country and really mm-hmm. over the whole Western world, that a new Pentecost would light up the world and light us up in order to proclaim this gospel.
Amen.
It's still going on today.
Yes.
It wasn't an isolated event of almost 2,000 years ago
right.
in the upper room. It's happening every day as people are filled with the Spirit and then proclaim the word and bring other people into the kingdom.
Amen.
And that's happened to me, it's happened to you, and it's happened to most of the people that we know and hang around with,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to happen to more and more people.
Yeah, and we have to go and proclaim that kingdom, and we have to proclaim it in love,
yes.
that the world may know that we're one with Yeshua, we're
yeah.
one with Jesus, we're one with each other, and that we're one with the Father through Christ.
Yes.
And that they see that love
yeah.
that's been written upon our hearts.
Yeah.
And that message of salvation is yeah. brought to them
yeah.
as it should
right.
be, as it needs to be proclaimed to them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a complete message, you know, Trinitarian complete message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Father, the Son who sacrifices himself, the Spirit comes and empowers these people and us to proclaim that word and advance that kingdom, gives us gifts to build up the body.
Yes.
You know, there's very little that we do on our own.
Yeah, there's very little.
As we talked,
yeah.
you know, a few months ago, you know, in Romans it says we don't even know how to pray.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is the situation that we're in.
Exactly.
And the empowerment of the Spirit is how all of this gets done.
Amen.
Woo! It's already done, though.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, Pentecost, Shavuot. We'll be back next week.
And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would empower your lives to go out and proclaim the kingdom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.